We've got two awesome sponsors, including pizza now. And Complete Ag Resolutions, in case your tractor hits a cow, it's the TagCast Podcast.
Wait.
All right, this time is for real. This is for real. I need to smoke more weed. Have you ever thought about what you're listening to, or do you listen only because they tell you? It's the TagCast Podcast, I thought you'd like to know. In case you're wondering, we got the fucking number one show. We'd like to keep you listeners listening, and like a wet branch, we're gonna keep y'all glistening. If you think that you like what you're hearing, check out our website to see where we're appearing. There's a chance we might come to your town, but only if you ask us. You know that we're down, we're like an oral infection. We're like Everglades, we've invaded your pussies, now you got hearing aids. But if you got a TTY, phone for the deaf, you can still call us up if you got minutes less. We got a hotline, so if you're feeling bored, call 541-791-6824. That's what's up. 791-6TAG. Drunk guys are welcome. We go. So while you're listening, yo, you should check out our site, thetagcastpodcast.com. It's tight. We got links to our Facebook and Twitter accounts and a fleshlight for sale for various amounts. You can size up our sponsors who keep us alive while you listen back to episode 325. That was our 100th episode, yo. You think we're stopping soon? Ah, hell no. We keep it stupid, cause that's what we do. We know you only listen cause you fucking want to. We ain't charging cause we know we're the shit, but it ain't free to us cause we're fully legit. So click on the donate icon if you want to support, and please keep in mind how much I fucking hate sports. You want to know how I lost my leg? Vietnam. Now go give your money to TagCastPodcast.com.
So do we, and welcome to the TagCast, number 418. 419.
There you go. You were one behind for a second.
I was.
Hey, that's Mark Arm.
He is. He's good with Gladys Sands the Pips.
Because it's too much.
It is, yeah. Yeah.
Of course, Gladys is pretty huge herself.
She is. That is pretty mainstream.
I mean, big. She's a big girl.
She is.
A big black lady.
But yeah, I mean, sounds like old school Mudhoney to me, man.
Yeah, it does.
They kind of had some, you know, they went with a horn section. Now they got a keyboardist in there, I think. And I don't even know if the bassist and the drummer is the same person as they used to be. They look a lot younger. I know, what was it, like Matt Lucan?
Matt Lucan and Dan Peters.
Dan Peters.
And he played for Nirvana for a minute before Dave Grohl came along and took his throne. Ooh, he just smeared poop on the screen.
Yeah, tongue-in-cheek lyrics.
I think that is Dan Peters on the drums, though.
All right.
Well, he's got those old-school Clear Ludwig drums.
Uh-huh. Did you know Mudhoney last December released a 102-minute-long documentary?
Wow.
Called I'm Now. And it followed them, well, we talked about their... from the beginning, and then followed them along their current tour at the time. I'm definitely interested in seeing that.
Right on.
I might even watch it tonight.
Yeah, we talked last week about they just had a record release show up in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get to go, but so this is a song off the brand new album, and it's what? They started in probably 86, 87?
It was,
or Green River was 86. Huh?
Yeah, I think 88 is when Mudhoney...
hit
really
scene.
Started forming, you know, but they'd all been playing.
So you know what that means. 25 years and still kicking.
Yeah, and still keeping it small.
Yep.
Still just doing what they do. And I watched an interview with about inspiration with Mark Arm, and he said that when he was young, he went to a couple shows. They were big arena shows.
Right.
And while it was awesome for him, you know, it was all sitting down and everything. And then he went to a Devo show. And Devo just opened up his eyes to what his show should be, you know, about, yeah, like, the energy from the crowd. And he said it was a spring wood floor. Everybody was bumping up and down.
Like the Crystal Ballroom?
Yeah. And he, it might, who knows, it might have even been there, you know?
Yeah.
It was probably the Showbox or something up in Seattle.
Yeah, I was tripping Dave Forsythe out up at that Anthrax show because he'd never been at one of those floating floor shows.
Uh-huh.
And I would just jump up by myself, and he's like, whoa, dude, stop it. I was like, just wait till 500 people are doing it at the same time, dude. It's awesome.
Yep. It was made for Weezer shows, right? Where everybody's pogoing.
Yep, so I'm pretty sure, that's Dan Peters, and it might even be Matt Lucan.
Yeah, Matt Lucan, he just looked, he's always looked kind of crazy, you know, and he does like to drink, as far as I know.
Yeah. But, well, who doesn't?
That is true. I don't really.
When you're rocking and you're in a band for years and years.
Yeah.
A little buzz there.
What's that? Yeah.
Oh, that sounded like the very beginning of the first Foo Fighters album. Yeah, right before they go into This Is a
All
Call.
Those songs he stole from Kurt, you know that, right?
I know. Hey, you know what we never did?
What's that?
We didn't tell anybody what we are or what we're doing. Oh, but we had that rap song probably at the beginning of the
day. Yeah, I said Tagcast 419, but we didn't introduce ourselves. You're Terry.
You guys know us by now? He's Gachalapo Goligus. And we're one episode away from 420.
Which we are.
We're going to get so fucking
stoned. And it's coming up this week, too.
We're going to
eat. On Saturday.
Yeah, so Wednesday, we're going to have a hump day 420 episode precursor to Saturday's 420.
Well, we celebrate all week.
Oh, all year?
Yeah.
Just like 2 days before Earth Day is all it is to me. 1 day before the Doug Benson show.
You know, I've been getting an amount that lasts me like 5.5 days.
Yeah.
And then, so I get about like a day of...
Oh, that's not good.
Black gold in a white lie. You know who sings that?
Izzy Stradlin?
Nope, it was Soul Asylum.
Oh.
From Grave Dancers Union.
I never had any of their CDs. I remember Lance liked those guys quite a bit back in the day.
I saw him, and I took some shit when I saw him, too, because I bought a shirt.
What, you took some...
And I would wear it.
Was it acid? You took some shit?
And...
I took some shit.
And Ron and Pat would go... Nice shirt, fag.
So Pat didn't like Soul Asylum?
He didn't. You would have thought he would have dug them, right?
Yeah.
But I don't think he ever probably heard any of their other stuff except for that fucking Runaway Train song, which, you know.
Yeah.
But you think Pat being an Afghan Whigs fan.
Sounds
kind of like
it,
and Teenage Fan Club. But his lyrics aren't as nice as those guys.
Yeah. Speaking of Pat, I got a message from Pat and I's counterpart in Bleach. It said, hey, I got a buddy who just got accepted into a biker club in Albany, and he wants us to play a party. They would pay us to do it if you want. It would be about a month away. What you think?
Huh.
I was like, who are you talking about? Bleach? Because last time I checked, we don't have a bassist. LOL. But seriously. And then he's all, a valid point. Was thinking if you were down, maybe I can call Pat and see if he wants to as well. Maybe he's got the itch by now, not crabs.
Oh, I was going to say. Maybe he has shingles.
Yeah. And so I said, I'm always down, bro. Like a clown. I'm only playing in two bands right now. So
you know who else is down, bro?
Who?
Dude, bro.
Kevin, he's down. Yep. Bro down. Oh, so then I said, hey, we're podcasting today, so... You got any topics, questions, or comments, grievances to air? What's really chafing your taint today? He said, it really chafes my tittle that there are no good cover bands out right now. That must be a nod to Bleach, because why would you care?
He's really driving it home.
Why would you? Okay. Yeah, I guess so. Okay. We got you, buddy. Gotcha. But whatever. So, no good cover bands. How about this? Not very many good original bands. No way. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I don't know.
There's good original bands, but there's a lot of bands that aren't really...
The music scene still baffles me a little bit around here.
It's in a weird state of affairs right now, I think.
It is. There isn't a lot of people going out to them, is there?
But there's tons and tons and tons of shows.
Yeah.
I think that's the problem. There's too many to choose from.
I think so.
You guys just fucking... we did our part. We took Sons of Confusion out of the mix.
Yeah.
Why don't you guys just break up a couple bands? I mean,
come on. Take one for the team.
Now, if you guys want to take a survey and think who thinks they're the best band, the best musicians, you guys stay together. We need the crappy bands to break up.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to call any names or say who's crappy because it's not my point.
Well, it's like Hell's Kitchen. You guys go back to the kitchen, and I want you to come back and nominate two people. And then
out of the music scene.
Yeah, and they go, and they'll have their chance to, like, why should you guys stay in the music scene?
That's almost not a bad idea. The Willamette Valley music scene is so overcrowded with bands, and they're not all top-notch bands, so we've created a reality show. It's called Survivor 4.
But what if it, so can we match some of those guys up, though, once we dismantle their bands? Maybe we can take, like, parts of them that we think would be good together, and we'll basically form a boy band, right?
Yeah. So we could say, what's a good word for, like, cutting down?
Crop.
We'll call it Willamette Valley Local Music Downgrading.
Yeah, downsize.
Oh, that's it, downsize. Downsize. Sorry. Thank you for correcting me there.
Yeah, or it's crop because it's Photoshop.
Yeah.
I'm just going to crop.
Well, that's the term. That will be a catchphrase that we use. So it's maybe. The Willamette Valley music scene downsize show.
What if we... Crop should be like the acronym. So you got cutting really awful... Wait, cutting really awful people. That's crap.
Really awful?
Awful. No, crap.
I thought we were going to crop on.
Yeah, but I was thinking, well, the A works and crap's nice, too. But people...
call it crab.
Yeah.
Cutting really asinine bands.
You've been crabbed.
Willamette Valley music scene downsize show. So it's the WVMSDSS.
Well, they saw a picture of a...
Whoa.
The Littlest Eye gig that went on last night over at
the Dixie.
The Dixie, and they said they saw in a couple pictures one person.
I saw a few, but there was less than there should have been.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, we almost had a benefit show on that same night.
Right.
You know, and so, I mean.
Kind of glad we didn't.
Yeah. Well, in a way, yeah, and just because of the.
Well, there's just, like I said, there's so much stuff going on everywhere all the time.
There is, yeah. And summer's coming up, and it's not going to get any lighter because then you got the family events and you got stuff like that, you know, like all the fairs and all the getaways, 4th of July. You know, the college kids are going to be out of town in Eugene and Corvallis.
Yep.
And so, you know, it makes it even rougher. There just needs to be like one huge venue. For the Albany Corvallis area, right?
Yeah, it'd be nice, but
what would happen if the Dixie started charging
for shows?
Yeah,
I think even less people would come.
I think because unless you did like a nightly thing, I mean, you'd have to bring in something that would bring in, you know, a crowd every. You'd have to be that kind of venue that charged every night, right?
Only when there's live entertainment.
Yeah, well, of course, but I mean, you would want live entertainment in there every night then. That would be, you know, because if someone goes there on a Saturday and it's like $5 to get in, you know, are you going to really think on next time you want to go out on a Tuesday, is it going to be any different?
No, but like I don't see people going out, like there wouldn't be enough people out on a Monday or a Tuesday.
You had B.B. King in town or something.
Yeah.
Or what's, you know, there's some Corvallis heavy hitters, though. Like, what's that blues guy's name over there from Salem or Corvallis? He's a kid of about 22 or 23. You know who I'm talking about?
Adam Scrams? No. 22 or 23? No. Who?
I don't know.
Hey, I don't know if you noticed. I know you said you don't listen to any really podcasts anymore at all, but they finally I don't know what they redid, but they found it and... revived it, I guess that's what I was going to say. The episode with Andy Bradwin that was lost from the podcast cast.
It came back up, right?
Yeah, that was a pretty decent episode. I thought it was pretty good. I listened to the whole thing all the way through, which Yeah, sometimes I don't listen to your guys' episodes all the way through because you talk about a lot of podcasts. But I did hear about a new podcast, which obviously isn't that new because the episode's a few weeks old because they lost it for a while. I can't remember. Oh, it's called Put Your Hands Together. It's a podcast that's actually just live stand-up performed at the Upright Citizens Brigade in California. And the episode that they previewed was Kyle Kinane and Ron Funches and some other people. And Dylan said he doesn't really like the hostess, which I think her name is, I can't remember right now. But anyway, anybody who's into stand-up comedy and podcasts and don't really like the long, drawn-out, just conversational podcasts, or this is actually just sets of stand-up done live with talking in between. I couldn't find it anywhere because I don't have iTunes, but I'm going to check it out. It's called Put Your Hands Together.
Put Your Hands Together for the band?
For the comedians.
All right.
Because it's a stand-up show, get it? Put Your Hands Together for Mr. Ron Funches.
Yeah, I saw you were giving a shout-out to him today for a California gig he had coming up.
I was? He's going to be at Bridgetown for one day only, Sunday night, at the Baghdad Theater.
Yeah, you put up, well, I'm just saying that you were giving a shout-out to a personal friend of Bobby Jordan from another podcast, speaking of podcasts, that you were saying go down and see him, weren't you?
I don't know. I don't remember doing that. I don't know what you're talking about right now.
What?
What are you talking about? You said that I posted our rap video on Bobby's page.
You posted something on Bobby's page. That said,
on Vowel Movements.
No, you posted this on his personal page that, hey, go and check this out. And it was, you said,
recently?
Yeah, it was today.
That
you
must
said,
have been my wife.
You said, Ron's a great funny guy, worth the trip.
That must have been my wife.
Oh, okay.
I sleep till like noon.
That's cool. Well, it was around noon. Or no, it was like 2. It was like an hour before.
Dude, you're tripping me out right now.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
But anyway, I saw a thing about him, and he's done more than I even knew. Not only is he a writer for The Kroll Show on Comedy Central, he also is in a new pilot coming out on NBC called Undateable. And he also is doing voices for Crash and Bernstein on XD Disney. And one other thing that I can't remember right now. So go, Ron. Go.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Go. Yeah, I don't know exactly what you're talking about Ron Funches.
Dude, it was on your wall. You wrote it onto Bobby's wall.
Okay, well, I'm going to look right now and see. Have you been eating Ambien?
I have.
Have you been watching Weeds Season 8?
No.
No?
No.
Have you watched it at all?
Yeah.
Season 8?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. Where Kevin Nealon's taking Ambien and he's taking a shit on his own newspaper every day?
Yeah.
That's fucking funny.
Yeah.
And you got to see, what's her name, naked again, swimming in a pool.
Oh, man.
She's kind of a slut in that show. She fucks a lot of people. She's a hot slut, but she's a slut.
Dude, she is so fucking fun in that show, man. Like, just her whole demeanor, too, just the way that she fucking commands attention.
She's still no-nonsense.
Yeah, dude, yeah. It's fucking...
I found it.
She's chews on that straw on her coffee.
I found it. I didn't post that, dude.
Oh, well, that's cool.
That was my wife. It was posted 1 hour ago. I was on the road.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know if Bobby really enjoys stand-up. I know everybody enjoys a little stand-up comedy, but I don't think that's really his thing. He'd rather go to a wrestling match. And, I went to their page to post that TagCast rap, and I saw a post from a couple months ago that said, Vowel Movements shirts, with a question mark. And everybody's like, yes, please, extra large, blah, blah, blah. And I said, I'm not buying a shirt till we get a new episode. Because it's been, like, since December. Dude, 4 months, you guys are going to lose all
that's,
your,
yeah.
We've probably already lost you. You're probably not even listening anymore, Bobby. God damn it.
I know, because if he's not putting out episodes, then it's probably like kind of painful for him to listen to one, right?
Bah. Maybe if we gave him more shit and we just posted on his page every day and said, hey, check out this episode. We talk crap about you.
You should.
But yeah, that's good for old Ronnie Funches. He's a funny guy. I heard some of his new stuff. And it's great to hear new stuff from a guy who used to be local and you'd heard all of his stuff and then you're hearing new stuff. He had a funny thing that said, this year's been a good year for me. I completed my marriage. He completed his marriage.
Wow. So that means that you got divorced, right?
Yeah. But that's a funny way to say it. What do you got over there? You're being distracted by a phone.
Dude, I'm trying to look up who that guy is. I think his name is Tyler something.
Who?
The Corvallis Blues young dude.
Oh, Tyler Fortier?
I don't know.
Fortier?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
We talked about Anton Figg last week, didn't we?
Yeah.
And then I saw him like the next night on David Letterman a skit.
I think they've been listening to our show.
Yeah, they were doing the Sears Portrait Studios closed.
And they were all wearing berets.
They were all wearing berets and red, like you would see, you know, the classic Sears Portrait red. Is that a color, Sears Portrait red?
Well, not anymore.
You know what color I'm thinking about, though? The vividity of the red when I say Sears Portrait red.
It's kind of like period blood red.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's on a sweater, so it's like you washed that sweater with a tampon.
So before that...
Is that a way of tie-dye?
Yeah, you could just soak it in blood. We were talking before that episode of David Letterman, and you asked me about Antog, how good he is or something I said. Or
lexicon of drummers.
Or you said something like, have you ever seen him do anything incredibly? And I said, besides wearing that funky beret all the time, I haven't really.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, they're capitalizing on our
They are.
Gold.
The same thing with that guy and the T-Rex.
Yep. Can't
Family
masturbate.
Guy, yep. Right?
Seth, what's his name?
McFarlane. You know, he was on Shark Tank once.
No. What was his idea?
He didn't have one. He was there with another guy.
Oh, he was like a counselor or a...
No, just a guy came to do his pitch, and then Seth MacFarlane came out and helped a little bit, but didn't really...
Was it his friend?
Yeah, or... I think so.
Oh, okay.
He was like, he just kind of like gave an endorsement of a of the project. I can't even remember what it was. It was something... I think it was his thing. This guy had this product... where it was a cone, right? And it was a fly trap. And you put it over a pile of dog shit. And then the flies would get in there and get stuck on the trap. But you couldn't see it because you have this nice decorative cone sitting out in your yard.
Ah, that works well.
I know. And I was thinking, how would that work in the house? You got to, like, shit in the fucking floor and then fucking cover it up?
Yeah, I guess. That's what you'd have to do.
You think you'd come in there with something a little bit, like you could just put a bunch of sugar in there or something, put it in your house. You know, why concentrate on it's got to be shit? Unless you're just selling it as horse tack, right? You know, like for the horse barn where all your dogs and horses run around if you're on a farm.
Yeah. Horse tack. I never knew what that was until I kept seeing the horse and tack shop over there.
Yep.
I was like, what the fuck? You buy tacks there?
Yeah. Don't even know... What's the
I don't know.
Wouldn't know if I didn't grow up near a horse and tack shop, Toklat.
Toklat?
Yeah, I remember that over in Lebanon.
Yeah, that's the one by old Roth's that's now something else because everything changes.
Yogurt and Figaro's now.
Exactly. I'd like to give a quick shout out to all the finalists in the Oregon's Last Comedian Standing, now in the finals as well after Saturday's show, is Todd Armstrong from Portland, and Stephen Kirby, who I also believe might be from Portland, making three of the four finalists from Portland. That's Will Woodruff, Dan Paul Schaefer, Todd Armstrong, and Stephen Kirby. 420 will be the final round, and all of those guys will
smoke
be getting some kind of a prize. Yeah, it'll be good having a comedy show on 420 because everybody will already be laughing.
Yeah. Everybody will already be at all the various Doom shows going on.
Yeah, or metal. 30 Town Pest is playing. A whole bunch of other bands have shows.
It's going to boggle my mind if I keep thinking about all the band shows going on and not enough people going to them.
Yeah, everybody.
That's because everybody that fucking loves music is in a band, man.
Yeah. So, shit, what was I going to say? That's okay. It's about 420. I was going to say most people probably just stay home and get really baked and not really even care about it.
That's the day I watched Groundhog's Day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I smoke and then I forget and I go, it's 4-2.
Do you watch
it? That's not even Groundhog's Day, but 4 sounds like February 2, 4, 2, 0.
You're all fucked up.
What is going on? No, I love that. I see Bill Murray's coming out with a new movie. I just saw a little poster of it. I don't even know what it's called. But he plays another one of those wacky characters with a pipe.
Yeah.
And I think about it, you know, and I think, like, where he's risen in his career, that he does these really eccentric characters.
Yeah.
You know, and he does them well because he understands the subtlety of comedy. Always has, you know. Mm-hmm. Just even like when he was in Zombieland, you know, playing himself.
Right.
You know, I mean, so subtle but so brilliant at the same time because that's what he would be doing, you know.
Yeah.
And then you got, of course, comedy brilliance. I don't even think Kingpin would be his greatest movie without him in it.
Yeah.
I mean, having him as the adversary... Yeah, raised it up.
If
I
it
mean,
was just Woody Harrelson and that other dude, then it wouldn't be...
Randy Quaid.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And then, like if it was played by Dennis Quaid, it wouldn't have been the same.
Oh, God. Dennis Quaid would have ruined that movie.
Yeah.
I can't even see how those guys are brothers.
They're not.
They're not? They're not?
I think they just...
were good friends, and they said, hey, let's... It's like a Lennon maybe. McCartney thing.
I don't see them hanging out, though. But you know, Dennis Quaid, one of the best celebrities who golfs.
Really?
Yeah, he's like a scratch golfer.
Huh. He's better at golfing than acting, then.
Some might argue that.
Yeah.
They both went kind of crazy.
Did you, this is kind of off the subject, did you get sad the other day? I don't know how you thought about this guy, but old Jonathan Winters passed
away. Yeah, old man Winters.
He did a way more stuff. I mean, I remember seeing him as a kid.
He was in the First Color broadcast. Did you know that?
I didn't. Yeah. I know he used to be on, like, the Steve Allen Show and stuff.
Oh, he was huge, yeah.
He was on Mork and Mindy back in the day.
For sure, for sure. I remember reading some of his books back in the day when I was under 10, you know, and going to the library at the old elementary school and first getting into reading comedy books and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, he was, he had a lot of things. He did a lot of voice or message machine tapes.
Yeah, yeah.
Back in the day, you know, he was quick onto that.
Yeah, before anybody was doing that.
Oh, yeah, and like the prank calls, you know. Yeah, you just got to give a huge nod, and it seems like since he's recently passed, all the comedians are coming up and saying, you know, how great he was. But, I mean, he was one of the great greats, you know, as they've been
saying.
And
I never like, listened to him recently or enjoyed any of his stuff. I mean, I watch Mork and Mindy every once in a while. Mm-hmm. I don't watch Hee Haw anymore, but he used to be on that. And did you know that he was the voice of Grandpa Smurf?
Oh, really?
In all the Smurfs.
No, I did not know that.
And Papa Smurf in the Smurfs 2011 film. And his final feature film was The Smurfs 2 in 2013, which will be dedicated to his memory.
Wow, that's cool.
Papa Smurf passed
away. Yeah, he was great on, you know,
he was
improv. I was watching some clips yesterday, you know.
Thing, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, you think about Mork and Mindy with him and Robin Williams, and where Robin Williams, as many think, is the great improvisational person of our time, you know, and not a lot of people that just know Robin Williams, you know, don't see back to Jonathan Winters that was before him. I mean, all the way back in, like, the 50s and stuff, you know? I mean, he was a radio disc jockey. Like I said, he was on the first broadcast. He was always, like, getting on people's TV shows. You know, he's just popular because he could just come on and be funny.
Yep.
You know, I saw one clip last night where, what's the guy before Carson?
Jack Parr or Steve Allen.
I think it was Parr. And gave him a stick and just said, here, do something with a stick. And he just kept on, you know. I mean, obviously he grabbed it. He was a fishing pole, and not just a fishing pole sitting there, you know, like he was fishing. He had funny lines delivered with it and real dialogue. And along with, in the vein of Bob Newhart, to where he could hold your attention by having a conversation with the phone with not even having the other person's dialogue.
Yeah.
You know, having a two-person dialogue on the phone, Bob Newhart was probably...
Oh, he was awesome at that.
The master of... I mean, that was the whole... His act for most of his stand-up career.
Yeah.
Was based upon his brilliance doing that. And so both of those guys, you know, Bob's dead too.
Yep. So now they're yucking it up in hell or wherever. Did you know that Jonathan Winters was in a psychiatric hospital?
I believe
in it. In 59 and 61?
Well, they probably just committed him, don't you think?
No, he suffered a nervous breakdown and was suffering from bipolar disorder, which I didn't even know was diagnosed in 1961.
Maybe they probably just thought, man, you're weird.
And then he used obscure references to his illnesses and his hospitalizations during his stand-up routines, most famously on his 1960 album, The Wonderful World of Jonathan Winters.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. I didn't know that he had been committed before.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, so.
I bet it makes sense. You could probably commit any comedian.
Yeah.
Most of them, you know, for some sort of, even if it's narcissism.
Yeah. Also, I don't know if you're a big fan of the Deftones, but...
I heard about him.
Yeah, he passed
away. Never really listened to him, so I don't know. Yeah. They had a couple hit songs, right?
Yeah, they had that The House of Flies or whatever it was. It was a hit on rock radio. I can't remember how it goes. Was it?
Yeah.
I Watched You Change. It's called Change in the House of Flies. But, yeah, he was in a coma for, like, 5 years.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah, he got in a super bad car wreck in 2008.
They just played, like, not too long ago,
right? Oh, but they had a different bass player for the last two albums.
Oh, okay.
But they were leaving it open to him if he ever came out of it. I mean, he was...
As long as he could learn the lines, it was one of those Slayer things, right?
Yeah, exactly. He couldn't even form sentences or anything like that. And
five years is a long time,
He'd gotten better, and then he'd gotten worse, and then he got better, and he started talking, but not in full sentences. And he was like... They said it was a great... triumph for him to just be able to track people with his eyes while they walked by, you know, because he had severe brain damage.
Yeah, and, just be able to, like, focus on something.
And then he got pneumonia or something towards the end and passed away. So, yeah, I know there's a lot of huge Deftones fans out there. I got a lot of friends that are bummed out hardcore, like the guys from We Have Guns, Carl and Toby, were huge Deftones fans who had seen Deftones back in, you know, 2006, 2007 before Chi got in the car wreck. But also, I didn't know Korn had a song on one of their albums called Chi that was a song about him. Mm. So... Yeah.
I got a couple deaths here.
All right,
maybe
bring them.
See if you know them.
Usually when you bring them, I don't know them.
Yeah. Well, I had those too.
Well, I brought those because I knew them.
Yeah. Mickey Rose, he wrote jokes for Johnny Carson and was good friends with Woody Allen and helped him write some early films.
Hmm. Don't recognize his name, but I obviously know some of his work.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Here, you know, this guy, Andy Johns. Famous music producer, worked on Zeppelin, Rolling Stones.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Got his first gig working under Eddie Kramer on the Jimi Hendrix recordings.
Huh.
Produced over 40 albums and was an engineer on even more.
Nice.
Richard Brooker.
Nope.
Jason Voorhees, Friday the 13th, Part 3.
Oh, only in the one?
Well, it says he was an actor most well known for playing Jason Voorhees in Friday the 13th Part 3, which at the time was the best of, right?
Yeah.
When 3 came out, it was like, I can't believe a sequel is greater than 1, right?
Yeah.
But aside from playing Jason, he had an illustrious career as an actor and a director as well. I'll give you one guess of what popular TV show that aired on Saturdays that he directed.
Saturday mornings?
Yeah, sure.
I was just trying to see if that was going to be a cartoon.
No.
Okay. The guy who played Jason Voorhees in Friday the 13th Part 3 directed what TV show on Saturdays? That's the question?
Yes.
Airwolf.
So close.
Really?
Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Oh, well, he's dead too. So.
Wow,
he was the director of that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that weird?
That is weird.
And this one, Ned Fettuccine.
The inventor of pasta?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. No, who's that?
Annette Funicello.
Oh, man. Oh,
were
man.
You a big... I doubt you watched Mickey Mouse.
Oh, I did, though, because they had the black and white reruns on TV when I was about second, third grade. I'd come
home from
school.
I watched Dumbo Circus when I was in high school, but it wasn't no Mickey Mouse Club.
There was Cubby on the drums and Annette. And,
all right. So,
I would come home, and the lineup would be somewhere around, like, the Mickey Mouse Club, Gomer Pyle, Gilligan's Island, and Brady Bunch.
I remember
a great afternoon lineup.
I'd watched the Nick at Night one. That was first on. Had like Donna Reed, My Three Sons, Dobie Gillis.
Old shit, yeah.
Mr. Ed. Yeah, you know, but what were you just talking about? Oh, Annette Funicello and the Mickey Mouse Club. And right. So did you watch any of those funky movies, you know, like the...
Beach Parties?
The Beach Blanket Bingo.
Nope, I never did.
That was a whole era, though, that, you know, they're... Not until Pee-wee brought it back with Annette, right?
Right.
And Back to the Beach?
I think it was Back to the Beach.
Where, you know, now it's synonymous. I mean, you can't even say word without somebody saying the word bird is the word. You know, because of that movie. And that movie's like 25 years old now, so I don't know if younger kids have seen that, but that's what I always think about, right?
Right.
And then, you know, but I never watched much of the earlier with Frank Avalon. Is that his name? Frankie Avalon?
Yeah, yeah.
But I know I've seen the bits that was the era. My era of the 80s was like, you know, and I wasn't quite old enough, but like all the hard body movies, right? That was the huge explosion that everybody was... Anybody could make that movie, you know, and then anybody could make back then, go to the beach and throw a couple blankets down and everybody wanted to be in your movie or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know why. I just never got into those movies very much.
Well, they're probably 20 years before your time, right? Yeah. Wasn't that like late 50s?
Yeah.
And those are probably like the teens would go to see that to see some leg of some celebrities, right?
Yeah, or maybe some midriff.
Yeah, now you just go to the movies to see if Halle Berry gets naked.
Or if she gets her guts slashed out by some killer or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, speaking of... we're not speaking of that. I watched this cool special. I don't know if it was a special. It was a stand-up special. Yeah, Bobcat Goldthwait. From 2012, well, fairly new. It was good, actually. He was funny.
I think I've listened to the audio of that.
And he really didn't do it, and he's like, I know what you guys are thinking, you know, you probably just thought I was going to get up here and go...
Is that the one where he talks about his daughter sitting on the couch with his daughter while watching a shampoo commercial or something, and she says, God, that looks like a bunch of cum on her stomach or something like that, and he's like, first of all, how do you know what that looks like?
Yeah,
that was great. He started off kind of like a mild Bobcat, but then kind of like weaned off of it, you know.
He's like, I know you guys were expecting the black guy that makes the sound effects. It's the guy from...
Yeah. That was a pretty great album, I thought. You know, I listened to that on when I had the Zune Pass, and I had some good chuckles with that album.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, Friday night. Let me set the scene here. Friday night, 2:30 in the morning. I'm sitting on my couch watching Bobcat Goldthwait. Just started, right? And then all of a sudden, 2:30 in the morning. That's the knock. And then again, before I can even get out of my chair. Now, I know that knock. That knock is Dan Dannon, the guy so cool you had to name him twice, and he doesn't have a middle name.
Well, okay. Wait, so this is happening to you?
This has happened to me. Friday night.
I thought you were recanting a Bobcat joke.
Nope. This is true shit. This is true shit. It's 2:30 in the morning. I'm just starting to watch this Bobcat Goldthwait. Actually, he kept saying Bob's Cat Goldfarb is what he kept calling himself. Bob's Cat Goldfarb. But anyway, so this really cop knock, but I knew the knock pattern was Dan Dannon, so I get up real quick and here's drunk Dan Dannon swaying at 2:30 in the morning. Hey, what's up, dude? I was like, dude, it's 2:30 in the morning. He's like, I know, man. Can I sleep on your couch? He goes, I got ditched. So his friends ditched him at the bar, I guess, and I told him, no, you can sleep on my chair, I guess. But and then he's all... like, so drunk. He's like, drunk guy. He's swaying back and forth. He's like, hey, you think we could watch that Cinderella video again that we were watching the other day? I just started watching this Bobcat Goldthwait video. If you want to sit down and watch that with me, that's cool. And then, so he's saying some heavy shit about religion and this and that and saying, first of all, you guys kind of like George Carlin says, sorry that you guys believe in that guy or whatever,
because
uh-huh. God's not real. And so this guy's kind of, he believes in God. He got offended when Dio said, I'm going to burn in hell with all of you at the concert.
Uh-huh.
And so, and this guy's got a lot of strong opinions, this Bobcat Goldthwait guy, and he's just being brutally honest. And
well, yeah, he's doing his comedy thing.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, Dan Dannon says, I'd kind of like to punch that guy in the face. And I was like, why? You don't like this guy? He's like, I'm just kidding. I don't want to punch anybody in the face. So, yeah, I had a drunk visitor at 2:30 in the morning on Friday.
Yeah.
His friends had ditched him after the bar. And he didn't want to drive home, so that's cool. I didn't want him to drive. He was fucking wasted.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
It sounded like they probably ditched him for a good reason.
Oh, man, he was being annoying as hell. I was just afraid of him fall asleep, dude. And then he was gone before I even woke up in the morning, so I don't know. I don't know what time he left. I hope it wasn't like an hour after he fell asleep, because he was fucking drunk as fuck.
Yeah.
Fun times at the Brownsville Tavern.
Hans isn't on Facebook, is he?
Nope.
What's up, Hans?
He's on Tumblr, though. He told us to check his Tumblr.
Oh, really? Well, he always asks questions. You always ask questions anonymously, Hans. I decided to start talking.
What, you don't know who it is?
Hans.
Yeah, we're just going to talk to you, Hans,
instead of
about him.
About you,
because we know you're listening. So
yeah,
there's no reason for us not to talk to you.
And so, you know, all right, I'll check out your Tumblr, but give me a link. Send it.
No,
over
he
to
doesn't
the
have
page.
A Tumblr. I don't think.
Oh,
he just goes to our Tumblr.
Okay, he goes to our Tumblr and writes anonymous, because you can send in an anonymous question. You don't have to be a member or anything.
He might troll around on Facebook and see stuff, but I don't know if he does or not. Hmm. He is kind of a troll.
If you go, Hans, go to Tumblr and then search in there. Put a search in there for suicide girl. That's
want
to do. You want to check out some of those images.
Yeah. And
that's a new trick I learned, though. You know, I'm friends with, I like suicide girls on Facebook.
Right.
You just go in there and then you like highlight their name when they do a post and go Google search.
And then
bam, you don't even have to like join the suicide girls. You just go.
All the pictures come up with Google
yep,
images. Yeah,
they do.
That's awesome. Thanks, Google Images.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also,
it's
Hans,
usually a tumble.
After Tumblr. You check out that Tumblr, check out Stand Up on One Leg Tumblr.
Yeah.
Read
yeah.
some of my ramblings. I haven't been there for a while, but you can learn a little bit more about Terry
Hans
Guile.
Could start a Tumblr. You could start a Tumblr page, Hans, and do some like album reviews. And nobody's.
He used to do album reviews for the Loud, Fast, and Rude zine back in the day.
Well, why don't we hook him up with Exiled in Eugene or something like that?
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, where he could, you know, just email over a review or send it off to their Tumblr, because Exiled in Eugene has a Tumblr.
Yeah, they do. And speaking of Hans,
what's in Hans's CD player? Find out now and we'll find out later. What's in Hans's CD player? It's always something cool, because you know
he likes lemonade. Oh, wait. Do you like lemonade, Hans? Because I used to drink a lot of lemonade back in the day, apparently, according to a book that I saw was maybe going to get published.
Dude, I saw the victim's documentary.
Did it have a lot of lemonade?
Yeah, the whole time you were in it, you had cans of lemonade. I think it was
cans?
Yeah, it was the same can.
Did I just drink
time the lemonade? Because as the movie went on, it became more and more faded.
I think I was
like, it was sun faded from years of.
I thought I was just drinking like concentrate.
Yeah, you just had.
Ooh, that's strong.
I thought you had a like size cup that he has the same cup.
Yeah,
you know, for 47,000
years. Burn holes on the top of it and shit. Maybe we got Hans to listen to this album, because we had mentioned this album while somewhat making fun of him for listening to bands that are hard to pronounce.
Uh-huh.
And it was when Matt and Lance were on the show, and I said, oh, like Einsters and Neubauten, which is what he's listening today.
Oh, okay.
That's two words, by the way. Einsters and Neubauten. Their album is called...
They got that little man with the dot in the head.
Yep. He was wearing their shirt on one of our old videos that you recently put on YouTube.
Talked about them before.
Yep.
I think.
And the album's called One Half Mensch, MENSCH. Now these guys use like big pieces of metal and sledgehammers and
industrial kind.
Very not the industrial like the kids these days think of from the 90s with drum machines and shit, but like real industrial shit,
mm-hmm.
like
experimentations with sounds.
Yeah, and there might be more to it. And if there is, Hans, you should let us know. And then he said, "Be sure to check out Tumblr for Q&A."
Rock. Yeah, I already did.
Rock it, bitches.
Is there? Well, I'd like to hear Hans in the same almost vein, just because it's kind of doomy. I don't know if have I asked you, Hans, what you think of Bauhaus?
I don't think you have.
You know, the whole Belly Loogie Ghost He's Dead, I think, was their hit. But they're kind of...
My friend Phil was more familiar with those guys than I was, but I heard that Morbid Angel takes a page from Bauhaus on some of their songs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know...
Low singing, kind of?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Peter Murphy, he played the Wild Hall not that long ago. But he was recently arrested for drunken driving. And you know what band two of those members went on to go and start?
What?
Love and Rockets.
Wow.
Isn't that wacky?
That is. That makes no sense really whatsoever.
I don't know.
But I didn't really... I might have heard a song or two when Z-Rock was blasting the hair metal back in the day.
Yeah, the Love and Rockets.
What was their hit? You remember?
Oh, Jesus.
I can't remember.
Harriman was a big fan of
Love and Rockets. Because it was hair metal. It was Harriman metal. Harriman Metal.
Rockets. You'll know the song. I mean, they had two or three hits.
Okay, and anybody who's been following my Facebook or looks at my Facebook will know what I was in my CD player was a bunch of stuff, but I'll just give you a couple each day this week. I was listening to Mastodon's Leviathan album, which I thought was kind of cool because someone quoted on there, a school teacher friend of mine said, "Oh, we had a vocabulary test last week, and the word Leviathan was on there." And one of my students said, "That's a record, that's a music record that my dad likes." That's funny how he said it's a music record, but for the word Leviathan, that was his, that was his definition.
Right. That's where he associated it with. Yeah. That's cool. So yeah, I saw that post. It was funny.
And I was listening to what else was in there in that bunch? Tad's Inhaler from 1983.
If I can use the term grunge now.
Yeah, but it was when they were getting a little more metal and they sounded a bit like Helmet. Actually, a lot bit like Helmet, enough to where whoever was at my house was fooled into thinking that it was Helmet for a second.
Yeah.
Because I had him on random and it wasn't playing.
That's it's the classic that magical couple years, I guess, of Sub Pop.
Yeah.
Where it was like all the jams were like coming.
I think they actually signed to a major for this last one, for Inhaler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, for Inhaler they did?
Yeah, I think so.
Huh.
I can't remember what it was because I'm stupid, but.
All right. Here's Love and Rockets. The former Bauhaus members in 85 started Love and Rockets, are in 83, and they're So Alive. Remember that hit?
Oh, yeah.
Ah, I'm so alive. Wait, that's not it, is it? They had a ton of songs, though. Or albums, but that was like 5 years after that they got big.
Yeah. I've heard it 10 years after. No, just kidding.
Hi-oh.
Hi-oh. So what have you been listening to any music lately, or you just been watching television? You listen to that Mudhoney. I know you're listening to that.
Yeah, I gave some snippets of that. I was almost going to buy the whole thing, but it was like $8 for the download or $10 for the CD. And I was like, well, I don't really want to wait for the CD. And I thought, I'd almost rather buy that documentary right now.
Yeah.
And I saw that it's on Instant Watch for like $2.99, so I might do that tonight.
Did you ever watch the rest of that Ween thing? Or is it even out yet?
I don't think it's out yet.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure. As far as music, the other day I gave a listen to Fragile by Yes.
Ah.
You know.
I don't know if I've ever listened to that full album, but I should check it out.
What?
Yeah, I know. Is that weird?
Well, it's weird in the context that, I mean, that's a classic from beginning to end album.
Yeah.
You know? Just the... Yeah.
I mean, maybe as a child, but not as an adult. I don't ever remember
the bass,
listening to it all.
The bass...
Chris Squire. Squire is a badass.
Yeah, and just the tone and the way that that's in the mix for that album.
Yeah. I was listening to some isolated bass tracks of his that are on YouTube when I was in the isolated bass track rabbit hole on YouTube after watching the dude from The Who, John Entwistle, and then some Geddy Lee and some different ones that have isolated tracks. And yeah, Chris Squire could play the hell. And you know who else? I don't know his name.
Steve Howe's on there too.
Yeah. I was watching a concert of the Mahavishnu Orchestra we talked about on the Zapotag cast.
Yep.
Man, those guys were good. And I somehow missed out on those guys. But Jean-Luc Ponty and John McLaughlin and actually one of the guys from that band was at the Pajama People show in Eugene.
Really?
Yeah. I can't remember his name, but there's a picture on Facebook of Ike and Glenn. And I think his name was Jerry something. I can't, don't quote me on that because I have a bad memory.
We've had some great interactions with some Zappa fans on the Zappa Tagcast page on Facebook, man. And it's awesome.
Any of you Tagcast listeners who don't listen to the Zappa Tagcast because of the fact maybe you don't like Frank Zappa, or like I got a post on my thing from Kyle Ziegler that said, pretty good choice, but not a big fan of Zappa.
Yeah.
I was like, well, you know, either you love him or you hate him or kind of one of those kind of deals. Actually, I kind of try to make him feel small by saying,
yeah, I know.
It's okay that you don't like him. Some people just don't get it. I was being a total Zappa hipster.
Yeah.
That's more for me to enjoy. But yeah, you guys that haven't checked it out should check it out because we do. We get a lot of good feedback and we're getting ready to have a listener appreciation episode coming up within the next couple of weeks where we're going to play some, clips from some phone calls that some Zappa fans have called into our hotline. By the way, 541-791-6824. Check out our rap video. It'll tell you all about it.
Yeah, it will.
But yeah, listen to Zappa Tagcast because coming up within the next couple episodes that we release, we're going to have a listener appreciation, and it's going to be a good one.
Did you ever get into appreciating much Paco Gestorius as a bassist?
I saw some clips on YouTube, and I just heard how awesome he was and read a lot about him in guitar magazines.
He's like...
Didn't listen to him, though.
When you talk to, like, bassists of bassists, that's usually who people say is Jaco Pastorius, right?
The bass player that played for Pajama People that I told you was talking to me bass talk, and I tried to just act like I was a bass talker, too.
Was he going all Paco on you?
He talked a little... I thought it was Jaco.
Jaco Pastorius, yeah.
Yeah, like Paco. That is his brother.
Paco Gestorius.
Oh, Paco.
Jaco Pastorius.
Oh,
he played for the Weather Underground, right?
Oh, yeah.
I got one of their CDs because at a time, you know, I asked somebody, what bass player should I check out?
Did they say Jaco?
And they said, Jaco.
You're like, I didn't even know Michael
I'm
Jackson.
Like, what?
I didn't even know Michael Jackson played the bass.
I know. Yeah, he's like, Jaco. Well, I guess...
Jaco.
She wore that funny hat.
This Jaco has gone Waco. This is Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
I listened to it, but Weather Underground had another big name in it too, though, didn't it?
Yeah, but I can't remember it.
Wasn't it like Wynwood or something? That's Traffic, right?
Yep. Weather, Traffic.
Yeah.
Who was in
this
sports?
This is on my... exactly.
Now for the wrap-up.
Yeah, I had some... here's what we got from... Hans, he says, hey, gatch me if you can.
Ooh.
And that's why I asked if he was on Facebook, because if he was on Facebook, he would see, you would see, Hans, that I have a picture of that movie.
But we were talking about.
Catch me if you can.
We were talking about it, though, last week or so on the podcast.
Oh.
Because we were talking about Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So he probably just...
I put my picture on the head of that.
Right.
I explained all that?
I don't think you explained the picture.
Oh, there's a picture.
But...
All right. Well, I'll try to post it somewhere or something.
Post it on Tumblr.
All right.
You can post pictures on Tumblr.
Yeah.
Okay,
he
go ahead.
He said, Hans here. I asked him, blue cheese or blue cheer, right?
Yeah.
And you said blue cheer all the way, right?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, he likes blue cheese?
That much.
Dressing? Or just the cheese
itself? He said,
itself?
I would have to say blue cheese, and he spelt it. With the
B-L-E-U. That's how you spell it.
Yeah, he said, love it so delish.
Yuck, Hans.
It's awesome on a grilled burger with bacon or stuffed in a butterfly duck breast. Wrapped in bacon, grilled, nom nom nom.
Butterfilled duck.
Butterfly
duck.
Well, so that's where you
No, it's like turd, duck, and pig.
Where you put a butterfly in
it's,
a duck?
Yeah, and then you put the duck. It's called butterfly.
Animals.
Butterfly duck and chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a. haven't had duck in a long time, but I love duck, and that's cool.
I tried duck once, and it wasn't good, so I didn't try it again.
Was it rough? Like, dry?
It was a little gamey. It wasn't store-bought
duck. But it's meat.
Well...
That's what game... Meat is gamey.
It was a little gamey.
I don't know what game tastes like. What does... What's,
you never eaten a Monopoly board?
No. Is that what it is? Gamey?
Yeah, it tastes
You're
a little gamey.
You're eating a Monopoly board?
Yeah, that's what it is.
All right, so... And then he asked a question for us. Assuming Christian metal would be white metal, right? Right? Assuming Christian metal is white metal.
That's racist.
And that satanic black metal.
Okay.
Right? What would be considered gray metal? This is what he's asking.
Oh, that's a really gray area right there.
That would be everything in between, right?
It'd be like, yeah, I guess. Gray metal?
Yeah, if they're...
I think it'd be just a little less evil. I think it'd be a little less
evil. Christian metal and satanic metal. I guess it would... Is there atheist metal? Is there agnostic metal? Well, Agnostic Frost, is that a band?
Front.
Oh, okay.
The agnostic front means you're just telling people that you're agnostic.
Could I... What would
Agnostic Frost.
Okay, what would Celtic Frost songs sound like if they were done in the style of agnostic front?
It would sound like agnostic frost.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could put on a Celtic front. See, now we're
Dude, why you got to be all putting on your Celtic front?
I don't know. You're not Celtic. You got a Celtic tattoo and you've never even been to... The land of the Celts.
Yeah, you know who I heard is singing for Celtic Frost now?
Don
Larry
Frost.
Bird.
Oh, Larry Bird. I thought you were going to say Don Frost.
Yeah, they're changing it to Boston Celtic Frost.
I'm going
to
start calling him Don Celtic Frost.
You should, dude.
But
isn't he from Boston?
No, he's from Nevada.
Oh.
He's from Mina. He was a Mina.
I had no idea. For all I knew, he was from Portland.
He's lived in Portland for about 10 years, but he grew up in a tiny little town in Nevada in a trailer park. You should listen to some episodes of their show. They'll tell you all about it.
So as far as gray metal, did we answer that?
I'd say it'd just be a little less satanic than black metal. What's red metal? It's a tough question.
It would have to be completely like safe metal, right? Because you got the Christian metal, right, is preaching. And then you got satanic metal, which is just like slaughter your goats, right?
Right.
So gray metal would be right in the middle to where it would offend nobody.
Right.
And it would be like lyrics about... It would almost not be lyrical. It would be instrumental because you couldn't sing a metal song about flowers because you're going to offend somebody.
Who's going to get offended by flowers?
Somebody isn't going to like it.
So like this.
So it would have to be completely safe, just instrumental, but not too solo-y and not too chordy, and the bass would have to not be too solo-y. But not just like two like do 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 do, you know? And so
okay, here's my chart. You got black metal over here, you got white metal here, and you got gray metal in the middle. So all the gray metal is just gonna be like you said at the very beginning, everything that's not Christian or satanic.
Mm-hmm.
Songs about women and drugs and fucking you know, rock and roll.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Exactly.
All right.
Which I think that's a good note to probably end our Monday show on, don't you think so?
Yeah.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Hey, yeah.
I had some other stories, but we'll get to those later in the week. I got a story coming up later this week about Sasquatch. We've talked about Sasquatch a lot, and I have a friend who is totally convinced, and this is a friend that I talk to two or three times a week, totally convinced that Sasquatch is real. So we'll talk about him. And
is he on the search for him?
He claims claims that he saw him and heard
him. All right, well, let's get a Kickstarter going so you can gain some backing to do some more research.
You know how much money people spend on those Bigfoot shows? And they never find him, ever. They've had him for 30, 40 years.
I know. You could get some government money to be looking for that guy. you know, and so you might as well do it because they're giving it to somebody.
Hey, speaking of Bigfoot, did you try to check out the Northern Lights on Saturday night?
I was looking south.
I heard that they were, like, partially visible here if it wasn't so.
What?
No, seriously, dude, I'll show you the map. Yeah. The sun had the largest coronal mass ejection.
Wow, dude, that sounds very hot.
I know. You should check it out. It's fucking awesome.
He had a major erection, the sun?
A coronal mass ejection.
A mass erection.
Okay, it was huge.
That was. Yeah. Well, if anybody's going to have a huge dick, it's going to be the sun.
Yeah. Or the sun's father, which is God. If you believe in that kind of thing, right?
I don't know what to believe.
Agnostic front.
Hey, episode 420 coming up on Wednesday on 417.
Yeah, that makes no sense, but totally makes sense.
Yeah.
We got a guest going to be on the show, too, on Wednesday, don't we?
Hey, yeah.
All right. Well, hope you guys tune back in and have a great Monday. Get your shit going and come back and hump with us on Wednesday.
Fuck yeah. Rock on.
Eat some bacon and sausage and pizza now. Hey, all you taggots. What's going on? A lot of stuff. You should go check it out unless you just want to sit at home on Saturday and just smoke weed all the time. April 20th and 21st, we got Stumpfest, an annual thing going on up at the Mississippi Studios in Portland with bands like Diesto, Satan, Norska, Lord Dying, Black Pussy, and Floor. Get your tickets online. Check it out at Stumpfest in Portland, Oregon. All right, so we got a ton of shows coming up on 420, which is Saturday. I'm going to give you four to choose from. If you don't like those four, you can go find some more. Up in Portland at the Tiger Bar, we got Dirt Nap, 30-Pound Test, Lidless Eye, and The Suppression. It's 21 and over, starts at 9 o'clock, but it is $6 at the door. So, there's that. You need to save your money for weed. No, just kidding. Go check out 30-Pound Test. If you can't, in Tangent, at the Dixie Creek Saloon, we got the 420 show with Ion Storm coming down from Portland, Crosby Ringer's band, and Brutos, and Bury the Goat. That's Dixie Creek Saloon, 9 o'clock, 21 and over. And these are all 420 shows. Zenit Ra will be at the Kalapuya Brewing Company. Our good friends Dave Trinkle and J.D. Monroe will be tearing it up. That's a 9 o'clock show. It's free. It's 21 and over. Always good beer and food at the Kapuya. And also, if you're in the Eugene area and you can't make it north for any of those shows, go to the Wetlands. That's on Garfield, 9th and Garfield in Eugene. Sick Man, Hiding Jekyll, and Electric Funeral. Electric Funeral is an all-acoustic metal tribute band.
To who?
Should be a good show.
To who?
Who? To all metal.
Oh, okay.
It came out right about the time that I did my first set of metal acoustic rock at the Wow Hall. But not saying that anybody stole anything, but whatever.
Electric Funeral.
Sunday, April 21st is the third annual Doug Benson 420 show at the Wow Hall. Tickets are on sale now. You can get them by contacting the Wow Hall or going online and looking for yourself to find the tickets. No Means No is going to be at the Wow Hall as well and the Hawthorne Theater on the 25th and 26th of April, respectively. I don't know if I said those in the right order, but check it out for yourself if you want to go see No Means No. April 28th, it's the Bleepin' Funny Comedy Show at Sam Bond's Garage on Blair Boulevard in Eugene, hosted by Leanne Joshua. Seth Milstein, I think, is going to be doing the set there. I haven't checked with him, but I believe he is on that. I will be doing a set as well. And this is a clean comedy show, PG-13. No shit talking and no talking about fucking your wife in the ass. So that's an 8 o'clock show. It's 21 and over, and it's free. More comedy coming to Eugene. Amy Schumer, who has her own show on Comedy Central now, will be at the McDonald Theater on May 4th. Also May 4th in Portland at the Hawthorne Theater. Whitest Kids You'd Know, very funny guys, going to be bringing their stuff to the stage. You can check them out on IFC. They show repeats all the time. May 9th in Portland at the Baghdad Theater, it's Jay and Silent Bob live, which is going to be awesome. You should go check that out. Bill Cosby's going to be at the Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall on May 11th. He's an icon in comedy, so you should go check that out if you've never seen Bill. Also that night, if you're into metal instead of comedy, go see Rotten Sound Black Breath. at Bronx in Portland. Other shows coming up include Napalm Death, Hypocrisy, Primus, Bolt Thrower, Cake, Tracy Morgan, Lynyrd Skynyrd. We'll save those dates for you for a later time because the song's getting over, and that's how I gauge the length of my plugs. So hope you like the length of my plug, and come back home after these shows and listen to TagCast Podcast at TagCastPodcast.com.